Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. This is Joyce Kyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life, and you are here again with us this beautiful Monday evening for another broadcast of Boots on the Ground Blog Talk Radio. I am so pleased to have you on with us again this Monday. For those who may be tuning in for the first time, Walking Into a New Life is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to stop domestic violence and help stabilize victims through a series of projects, programs, and initiatives that we host throughout the year. I am Joyce Kyles, and I am the executive director of that nonprofit organization. I am also a survivor of domestic violence and sexual assault as well. So it is my personal and professional privilege and honor to be able to host this show with you each and every week. Boots on the Ground was designed to bring on those individuals, businesses, organizations, agencies that may or may not be well known in the community, but are working to bring about change in the areas of domestic violence, sexual assault, as well as other social issues that are important to that particular person. So I am so very pleased and honored that tonight we have on the air with us Ms. LaTracy Copeland Hughes. And before I go into my interview with her, I just wanted to acknowledge how thrilled I am to have her on the show because today is actually her birthday. And despite the fact that it's her birthday, she took out time from her schedule to be with us. So for the next 30 minutes, we have the pleasure of having her on the show. So without further ado, welcome to the show, LaTracy Copeland Hughes.
So much for having me.
Well, it this is certainly our pleasure.
Yes, yes, it is mutual. I appreciate this.
Well, as yeah, I say so, it to everyone beforehand and to you personally, but I wanted to say on the air, happy birthday, LaTracy.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I feel like a teenager all over again.
Well, great. You know that I think that is a positive attitude to have. It is not how old you are, it is how old you feel. And
that
I think we should live our lives in that manner. If we think about it in terms of the numbers, you know, sometimes we can get depressed.
Yes, especially when you start seeing gray hair.
Ooh, we're not going to talk about that on this show. We're going to skate right on by that and get into the meat of the show. And I want to share with the audience that you and I have not ever actually formally met. So we haven't met in person, but I did have the opportunity to interact with you on Facebook. We're part of the same social group there. And I'm just so impressed with what you do. And what really drew me to you was a recent conference that you were hosting called Igniting the Fire. So I just want to jump right in and first of all just have you tell a little bit about yourself and where you're located, and then talk to us about Igniting the Fire. Floor is yours.
Oh, thank you. Well, September 24th through the 26th of this year, I decided to jump out on a limb to be in nothing but faith. I knew actually 2 years ago that I was supposed to ignite the fire of purpose in the lives of others. Well, it's easier said than done. But when you are in life and you are doing something, especially something according to your purpose, it's going to be difficult. I'm not going to tell you that the process is going to be easy. Well, in my case, it definitely wasn't. And if you know anything about fire, when you are igniting the fire, you have to go through it most times. And so going through the fire, yes. So for me, I was attacked in as a mother, caring for my children, as a wife, and as an employee, as a business owner. And yes, I play dual roles or multiple roles because I also work a full-time job as a teacher in addition to my business. I believe that you should have multiple streams of income, not because one income is not enough, but because something can always happen. And so this past September, I decided to give birth to the It Is Not Only a Conference, It Is a Movement. And we got together, women and men from all over the world, and we reclaimed the flame, which was our men's component, and ignited the fire, which was our women's component. We touched on the areas of ministry, business, and entrepreneurship, health and wellness, finances, and relationships. That's the holistic person. And when you're touching on the holistic person and how you are igniting the fire or reclaiming the flame, the basis of that, I realized firsthand that when you are teaching it, you must also live it. And so even though this was the very first inaugural conference here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, I am a transplant from Minneapolis, Minnesota. So people didn't know me. People didn't accept me. People didn't receive me. But I still had to do it. And so while I was going through that fire, my husband didn't even see the vision of the conference, but I still had to do it. There were sacrifices that needed to be made in my own family, money that was spent, and I had the joy of paying for the conference without going into the household budget, but still in all, it was still a sacrifice of my time, my talents, and my treasure. And I learned balance through it. I learned how to be tenacious. I learned how to be perseverant. All of those skills were heightened through all of that. It was a 3-day conference that began by bringing everyone in from across the world into the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And when people think of Mississippi, they think of dirt roads. They think of back alleys and railroad tracks and things like that. But when they came to Mississippi, to the Gulf Coast, they were able to meet up at the Biloxi Visitor Center, which is a huge, beautiful establishment right across the street from the lighthouse on the beach. And yes, and so when people came in, they saw a new light. They saw that the lighthouse brought them back to where they needed to be, because the process that I was told in the vision that was given to me was to bring people back from where they were currently to where they needed to be in their purpose. Because in life, most times we just go day to day doing what we think we need to do to get what we think we need to have, to be where we think we need to be with who is just around us. But not all of those things align with our purpose. Absolutely. And so while I was walking, while I was walking that process out myself, I realized that those who began with me were not going to end with me. And those who were even at the conference were may not be even there for the next few events. I understood that, and I accepted that, and I loved that because I embraced my truth. And so the conference was 3 days. The first night was a welcoming event where they were pampered. People were treasured. Gifts were given out. Red Lobsters came in and catered the entire event. We were truly blessed. And the second day was our day of workshops, And most people think, oh, this conference is a religious conference. Well, it wasn't. And that's what people thought it was going to be in the beginning, because they know me to be a believer. They know me to be a preacher, a teacher, a minister. They know me with all these different titles. They may see me on Facebook quoting scriptures, but there's a foundation to everybody. And that just happens to be my foundation. But if people truly took the time to know me and my brand and how I carry myself, I'm very unorthodox and I'm very out the box, because I believe that my faith is just that. And so I, looking back, it's kind of funny because I never planned this. The first day of the conference of classes, I walked in, I was doing the opening keynote. Well, that was expected because it was on the program guide, and I transformed an entire, my team and I, because I could not have done it alone, transformed an entire restaurant into a meeting space. It was amazing. Awesome. And we were there. Yes, it was. It was all so beautiful. And when we got there, I came in my heels and I was ready and I was all cute. You know, as a leader and a host, you have to look the part.
That's
why
you have to look the part, absolutely.
Yes, and when I got there, God told me to remove my shoes. I was like, what? He said, take off your shoes. I'm serious. He had me pack a suitcase with aprons in it from tool belt aprons from Home Depot. And while I was doing that, it was crazy because my keynote had to do with receiving all the tools that people need in entrepreneurship as a woman, as a man, as one who is in business, all of those different areas. People needed to know that coming to the conference, they were going to receive those things. If it was something spiritual that they needed, they were going to receive that. If it was something that they needed in their finances, they received that. And people didn't really know what to expect, but they showed up based off relationships. And that's what
and
I was
I'm
trying
a,
to
I'm,
get
I'm
to
a,
see.
And I want to stop you right there for just a second because I think you have brought out several points that need to be highlighted. And for those of you that are just tuning in, I'm Joyce Pyles, Executive Director of Walking Into a New Life. You are listening to another wonderful broadcast of Boots on the Ground Blog Talk Radio. Our guest today is the lovely Miss LaTracy Copeland Hughes, who is actually celebrating her birthday today. So we are just so pleased and so honored that she has taken time out of her schedule and specifically out of her birthday to join us and to be able to share. And what she's talking about is her Igniting the Fire conference that she hosted earlier this year. It is just the more she talks about it, the more I hate that I could not be there. I was actually speaking that weekend, and so I was not able to come. But I am so excited about you doing this again because I want to make sure that I put it on my calendar to participate. One of the things that I want to point out that you, well, a couple of things that you've mentioned that I think are relevant to our topic of conversation each week centers around domestic violence and sexual assault. And so the things that I'm hearing you share, LaTracy, that is so relevant to those who may be going through some sort of abuse or dealing with trauma is that you're saying that you're a transplant to Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And so people didn't know you, but you showed up and you did it anyway, that the path was not easy putting this conference together, that you had people who did not support it. And some of the people that you mentioned are people that are close to you, but you did it anyway. You showed up anyway. You persevered through it anyway because you had a mission. You had a purpose. You had a calling. And I think that is so important for those who may be dealing with some sort of abuse, some sort of trauma, whether they're dealing with it now or they're just getting out of it, or they may know someone else who may be dealing with it as well. Just do it anyway. Leave anyway. Show up anyway. Trust people anyway. Trust and know that if you make that decision to remove yourself from a particular situation, that when God gives you a vision, he's going to give you the provision as well, but you have to trust that. You have to give it that first step. And I love the fact that you mentioned that the conference was not a religious conference per se. You got from it what you needed from it because, as you know, people who are transitioning out of abuse, sometimes they struggle with the idea of religion because their abuse is taking place within their religious sector or their leadership is not where it needs to be. And so they question God. They question religion. And I like the idea that you gave the participants that came to your conference the opportunity to be pampered that first day. Same way as what we do, one of the things that we do with our organization with Walking Into a New Life is we host a quarterly Pamper and Support Day for victims, survivors of abuse, but we also do it for the advocates because the advocates need to be replenished. They need someone to pour back into them. They need someone to help them to be able to be the vessels that they need to be for the people that they serve. And so I just love the fact that you incorporated all these things despite the obstacles that you saw with going forward. You had this vision, you were given this mission, and I love the fact that you call it a movement, not just a conference. So when you say movement, that means it's going forth. It's something that's going to continue. It's not something that's just going to be for 2 or 3 days and then we're not going to see it or hear from it again. It's an ongoing process. So that those are the things that I wanted to make sure that I pointed out, and the fact that you had a men's component. For Walking Into a New Life, we have a Men Against Domestic Violence initiatives that we host throughout the year, and each November we honor men who work in this field, because a lot of times we talk about the women, and we talk about the women who put on the conferences, and the women that have been abused, the women who are survivors, the women who are advocates. We don't always address the needs, wants, and desires of our men in our ministry, in our business, in our professional and personal lives. And so just having something designated for them as well as the women, I think you embodied everything, and I absolutely love that. I absolutely love it. So when are you doing this again? Is my question to you.
Right now, I am embracing, I'm embracing recovery. Not recovery from alcoholism or anything like that, but shortly after the conference, not even a week after the conference, I was preparing with the executive director of our nonprofit to launch in Newark, New Jersey. And I had just finished the conference here in Biloxi, and we were pushing forward to get ready for the launch of the nonprofit in Newark. And in that process, I became ill. And I myself am also a domestic violence survivor. I am no longer a victim. But I had to mention that only because you can be a victim and make yourself a victim.
Yes.
You can make yourself a victim by allowing things to take place in your life that destroy you, by allowing not only physical but also verbal abuse, whether it is church hurt, whether it is financial, whether it is neglect, whether someone is just misusing you and they're being cunning and manipulative about it. All of those things are forms of abuse that are not even spoken of. And so in the process of planning the conference, I went through the fire as well. And while I was going through the fire, I allowed my stress to be held inside. I didn't share with anyone. I didn't seek assistance because I didn't have people in my close circle that had planned a conference, that had went through the fire of coming out of my shell. Because, mind you, I was in a domestic abuse relationship 5 years ago, and then now being in a new marriage, and I'm stepping out on faith of getting this conference together and everything, and then we're launching a new business, I realized I was going through my own abuse. Some of it was even self-inflicted. And I say self-inflicted because I allowed things to take place in my own life that could have killed me. Because stress can kill.
Absolutely.
When you don't seek help, when you don't ask for help, when you don't reach out for your sisters or your brothers to support you in the process of where you are, if you don't have those accountability partners that are going to keep you healthy, that are going to remind you that you deserve more and that you are more and that you are good enough, all of those things are domestic violence, and people don't realize that as well. And so that is where the slow death can come from. And when I say recovery, not even a week after the conference, I found out that my appendix was inflamed and I needed to go through emergency surgery. So I was in the process of planning 2016's conference and launching the nonprofit in Newark, and I ended up in the hospital having surgery, getting my appendix removed. But I'm still planning an event. I'm still putting things together. We're still speaking about domestic violence. We're still speaking about how the dressing room is going to be a great success and how everyone comes together and is going to receive what they need and all of that. And I kept saying, okay, well, we're going to work together. We're going to do this, and I'm going to be in New Jersey, and we're going to launch it. You know, everything's going to be great. But I never once took the time to take care of me.
Mm.
And so you asked me what I was doing next. Well, we just had our launch in Newark, New Jersey, but because of my health, I wasn't able to be there. And so we're moving forward. And I'm grateful because I don't have to do it all. I have great support.
Mm.
I have a great network. People that get together for the same common good, and they still keep moving and allow me to heal. And so the next thing that we have coming up is our Winter Wonderland, and that's going to be held on Saturday, December 19th in Newark, New Jersey. And it is a time of fun, food, and gifts honoring children of those that come from families with domestic violence.
That is awesome. That just really, really makes my heart smile that you are doing that. And I'm going to get the details of that event from you so that we can share it on our website and on our social media site so that people can connect with you. And, of course, the replay will be available for anyone who may have joined us late or want to share this information with others. So, but Tracy, this is actually a great time for me to ask you how to touch with you.
Well, I can be reached by email at latracy@latracycopeland.com or either by telephone at 530-205-3482. And because this is our event behind the dressing room, I would love for you to go to our Facebook page, The Dressing Room. We are a very new but effective nonprofit organization. And I say new, meaning the dressing room in the Newark location is new, but we have been established for over 8 years. We are a 501c3, and we work with families. And so we see the need of our families that have been affected by domestic violence.
And certainly I can speak to that in my own experiences with being a survivor myself and having children and them going through that process and that ordeal with me and just having different individuals, different agencies to support us during my time of transition. So that's why I say I'm just, it truly makes my heart smile to know that you all are doing this. And I did not know that at the time that I asked you about coming on the show, just like I didn't realize that it was your birthday today. Again, I'm just so pleased that you took the time out to be on the show with us to talk about it. I want to point out a couple of things that you mentioned that I think our listening audience really needs to pay attention to. First of all, let me just say I appreciate your transparency and sharing what you have because I told you, as I tell each guest each week, you know, this is an open forum for you to share as little or as much as you choose to. And that's one of the reasons that I created this show in the first place, is because I didn't want people to feel that they couldn't talk, that they couldn't share and be as open and transparent as they wanted to be. But I also didn't want people to feel pressured into sharing things that they didn't want to share. That was one of my issues with media. And so I like for this to be an open forum, but also one that is safe for you to share as little or as much as you want. So thank you for your transparency in reminding us, and I say us because I'm including myself with this, that self-care is so important, that so much of the abuse that we suffer through, sometimes it's self-inflicted, and I like the fact that you mentioned it that way. One of the things that we talk about on this show often is the different types of abuse, and that the 1 in 4 that we speak about, those who have been victimized, tend to be those that focus more on the physical abuse, not so much the other 80% that talks about, you know, the financial, the sexual, the emotional, the spiritual, you know, those things that we spoke about with self-inflicted abuse. So I'm glad that you mentioned those things and that you were so transparent in what you shared. And so I will encourage you, as I know others in your support system have done, to just continue to heal and continue to take care of yourself. And for those who are listening, you know, trust others with your vision. Be selective and be mindful of who you share, what you share. But do trust your vision, your mission with others. If you are an advocate, if you are someone who is going through abuse, find someone that you can talk to about what's going on with you. Open up, be honest, and be transparent, because that's the only way that people can help you. They've got to know that a problem exists, and they have to know that you're open and receptive to help. So those are things that I wanted to mention. And LaTracy, just thank you so much for being transparent in what you've shared.
No problem. I know that I have been in silence, even when it was physical abuse. I suffered in silence because I was one of the top-paying nonprofit CEOs in the state of Minnesota, and I didn't want people to know that I was being abused. And then, you know, when, you know, you don't want people to see the truth because you don't know how they're going to perceive it. My life was on the line. I sat this weekend and reflected over the last 5 years, and I saw what I had been through and my truth. And to be fake and to have a mask on, people don't know who the real you is if you don't show them that. And how can they help you? How can they support you? How can they encourage you unless you are real? If you issue with domestic violence, or if you have an issue with alcoholism, or if you have an issue with being a shopaholic, whatever those issues may be, if you don't share that with someone, then you're not going to get the help that you honestly need.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, but your truth may be the truth that someone needed to hear that will help them to come forward and say, okay, if this is her status and if this is what she's doing and she was bold enough and brave enough and courageous enough to share her experiences or his experiences, then that may be what a person needs to hear to give them the courage to step forward. So, you know, we are not to keep these experiences to ourselves. We are to share them with the world because we don't know who and how we are being used to help someone along the way. So I love this dialogue. I love the exchange. I love the information that you're giving. I did get your flyer, so I'm going to be sharing that with others. So please tune in. Make sure that you follow us on Facebook at Walking Into a New Life. That's our fan page. Our website is WIANL.org. Again, it's WIANL.org. You can call us at 901-466-6182. Again, it's 901-466-6182. We're down to our last minute. So, LaTracy, I just wanted to let you have the last word.
Well, final words, I would like to say, do not be, walking in my own truth can sometimes be difficult. Do not allow social media to keep you from hiding from yourself. In life, you must be true to yourself, and you must be true to those who are around you and those who you love. Domestic violence can only take place if you allow it, and that can be in any form. A person can only treat you the way that you allow them to treat you. So seek that assistance. You have an organization. I have an organization. We're here. We're not just on social media. We are real people dealing with real issues that have overcome them, and now we've gone back to reach out and help the next person. So don't feel as if you have to go through it alone.
And with that, I bid you a good night. Thank you so much, LaTracy, for being on the show with us. Do reach out to us if you are in trouble. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on this episode, and we look forward to having you on again next week. Thank you so much. Be blessed.